of Amy, and this is 8 of 15, and we thank the Lord for our children. And we're going to sing a song for you. I hope it's a blessing. We want to thank Morningstar Baptist Church for your support. It's been almost 19 years, and we thank you for that very much. You have a big part in our ministry, and we appreciate it. And so they're going to sing for you at this time.
It may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Tis heaven to me where'er I may be if he is there. I count it a privilege here his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It may be I must carry the blessed word of life across the burning desert to those in sinful strife. And though it be my lot to bear my colors there, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me where'er I may be if he is there. I count it a privilege here his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. It is but mine to follow the leadings of his word. But if I go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior content anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me where'er I may be if he is there. I count it a privilege here his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Amen. Nannikali, 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 kiakia, oyaka melene, akaka kona aloha, e me kuna hopo, mai kaya mai. Alai o ho uli a I keli e nui e o lai nanikali ki ki e nanikali ki ki e nani 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 e keli keli nani 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 e keli mau. Glory to God in the highest, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest shall be our song today. Another year's rich mercies prove his ceaseless care and boundless love, so let our loudest voices raise our glad and grateful songs of praise. Glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest. Glory, 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 glory be to God on high. Glory, 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 glory be to God on high. It's called for a payment for sin. No one worthy could be found among men, but the precious Son of God, with a cross and thorny crown, paid the debt with the blood of the Lamb. Paid in full by the blood of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb,
free from sin, free to live, now I am. And it reads on the page where my sins were written down. Paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, how great was the debt that I owed, bound to pay for the seed I had sown. But in Jesus my Lord, a great treasure I have found. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Paid in full by the blood of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
Free from sin, free to live, now I am. And it reads on the page where my sins were written down. Paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. And it reads on the page where my sins were written down. Paid in full by the blood of the Lamb.
Interested in the souls of men and willing to go and win them. And they've been there a long time. I remember meeting the box for the first time. And when he said 8 of 15, that was not the date. That was how many children they had. 8 of 15 with them. But 15 children, I don't... And talking about driving 200 miles to go to church for the first service, I don't know how they get that many youngins ready to go 5 miles, much less 200 miles, but they've been dear friends of ours through the years. And then their children, what a blessing to see them going on and in service for the Lord and preaching and singing. Y'all were a blessing, young people, this morning to our church and to me. But so good to have y'all. Good to have all of you. Good to be here myself, personally, me and my family. It feels like we've been out a year and a half. Really, it does. But I am... I think we've passed the worst of it, and I mean that for all of us. I know some are still sick, but as fast as this stuff comes, it usually leaves. I'm talking about where everybody's getting it. So hopefully we're about past the big rush of it, and we'll move on by the grace of God. But let's take our Bibles this morning. And we just got a few minutes left this morning. I'm not going to keep you long, but I do have a thought that I want to share with us. It's good to see the church full this morning. Well, I think our last service here, we had counted 18 families that were out that service. And so slowly but surely we're getting our church back, and pray for those who are not here. They need your prayer. All right. Turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. Galatians, chapter number 6. You've been seated a while. Let's stand to our feet and we'll honor God's word as we read together. Stretch your legs a minute. And Galatians, chapter number 6, and we'll look at verse number 6 through 10. When you get there, say amen. I still hear pages turning. I'll give you a minute. Not in that big of a hurry. I want you to see and read along with me. The reading of God's Word and what God has to say is way more important than anything I would add to it. What God has said is what we need to get in our heart. So let's look at this together. Galatians 6, verse number 6. The Bible says, "Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Here's our key verse, verse 7. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Thank you. You can be seated. We'll go back to verse number 7 and read that again as our text verse. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And we've heard this verse, I've heard it and quoted it many, many times. And the thought come across my heart as I was reading this, that we ought to feed what is feeding us. That's what I'll preach on this morning. Feed what is feeding us. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And there's a principle that God has given and a law and a system of cycles that the Lord created, even in creation, that carries on. And I want to look at that a little more in depth. And I think we need to learn to focus on what's feeding us. It's important. What's contributing to your life is worth you contributing to. What's helping you in your life is worth you helping to see to it that it can keep helping you. What you value and the people that you value, you should invest in those people. You should feed those people that are feeding you. How you take care of what is taking care of you matters. To see to it that it's there to keep taking care of you. Whether that be the church or your family, your marriage, whatever you gain from is worth you giving to keep it going. Now, everything that the Lord created in the beginning, He created in systems of cycles. Listen to these verses in Genesis 1:11. "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." And so God created these things, whether it was herbs or grass in the field, or whether it be trees. And of those trees, the seed was in the very fruit. And then when that seed would fall to the ground, it would reproduce. And God blessed it. And that's how He multiplied the earth. And He set these systems up. And if man don't tamper with these systems of circulation, they would go on reproducing themselves. And He made the grass, for example, to grow out of the ground with the intent that the grass would feed the ground. And that cycle would continue. When the ground provides the nutrients the grass needs, the grass can grow, and then the grass falls and provides nutrients back to the ground, and that cycle continues. The tree grows and stature and produces seeds. Those acorns or whatever kind of tree, they fall to the ground and produce again and again. Walk out through during hunting season. We'll walk out this pasture. We'd walk out through the woods, and you'd look for them acorns, because where the acorns are at, that's where the deer will usually soon be to follow. And they some on the ground. Then right beside those acorns on the ground, you'll see saplings and little bitty trees that sprouted and started to bud, and they're coming up. And then right down past that, you'll see some that's that tall. And beside that, there's some that's gigantic that's been there. And that cycle reproduces and again and again. And so God set these in motion. I'm getting to a point. Don't lose me. He made these cycles for a reason, and that the cycle would go on uninterrupted and keep reproducing. If the grass starts taking more from the ground, here's what I want to get to. If the grass starts taking more from the ground and taking in more than the ground can give it and taking advantage of it, it won't be long that the ground will be robbed of its nutrients and not be able to supply what the grass needs. And in doing so, because it's taking more than it's giving, the grass will die and the ground will die. And neither wins. And that's the same with a tree. That's the same with the field. That's the same with a garden. That's the same in life. You can't keep taking and taking and taking more than you give. Or both will die. Because the same is true with the heavens. Those clouds can afford to burst and feed the ponds and the creeks and the lakes and the streams and rivers and the ocean, because God set that cycle in motion to where humidity would hit, it would rise, it would feed those clouds, they would burst and then down. And that's another cycle that continues on and on and on. And those clouds, if they just took and took and took, they would bust. But if that cycle's broken, we'd be in a mess. You remember when Jesus passed by the fig tree and the fig tree didn't have any fruit on it, and he cursed it because that law had been broken. That system and that cycle that Jesus set at, that the Lord set up to do, it wasn't producing. All the fig tree, when Jesus come by to take fruit off of it, there was no fruit there to take. And Jesus said it needs to be cut down. And he cursed the tree. Why? Because all it was doing was being there and taking and taking and taking and not giving, not producing anything. And I thought about all this, and trust me, I'm not preaching on gardens and seeds and trees this morning. I'm getting to a point. Did Jesus kill and curse that tree because he was hungry? No. That'd be like me riding by Hardee's after church this morning. If they'd be closed, well, I'd just burn it down. No, that ain't how it works. It ain't going to be there for nobody. Jesus didn't curse the fig tree because he was hungry and didn't get a meal. He cursed it because it broke the law that he had set up, that you don't just keep taking and taking and not producing and giving back. And he cursed the fig tree because the fig tree was receiving and not giving. Listen, one place in the Bible talking about this in Luke 13:7, then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit of this fig tree and find none, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why is it taking and taking from the ground and never giving any fruit to put back nutrients in the ground? It's just taking and taking and taking, and therefore it's good for nothing. Why would Jesus let it stay in the ground and keep drawing and drawing and drawing? No, he said not to, to cut it down. This is not benevolence or generosity. This is called reciprocity. These systems that the Lord created and put in place, it's not to say you can't be good to somebody every now and be generous to somebody, but the system, the norm, how it's supposed to be in order for things to continue, whether that be a marriage, whether that be a relationship with our children, whether that be the church, you can't just take and take and take and take and never give. It will not sustain itself. A marriage that the husband is always taking and taking and taking and never gives to the wife, it ain't gonna last. It's cursed and it'll die. A relationship with our children, when it's just one way, it will not last. The same is true in the church. I've seen people, the people that I don't have to worry about who's going to be here next year or 10 years from now is people who are contributing, people who are serving, people who are coming and investing in this place because it shows they love this place. People who come and just like a sponge and soak it up and take and take, but they never contribute. Those are the people I worry about because they're not invested. And anything we're not invested in, we don't care much about. That's right. We need a balance of what we take in and what we give out. Anytime that law is broken, it brings a curse and it'll die. Listen to this verse. Deuteronomy 25, verse 4. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when it treadeth the corn. You can't expect even an ox or an animal to work and go out hour after hour, day after day, and just do something for you, to give of itself and work and plow and go, and you muzzle its mouth and you never feed that. You got to give back to even the animal that's helping you work. And the Bible goes out of its way to say that. Verses of 1 Corinthians 9, listen to this. Verse 9, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen, or saith he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of this hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap of you carnal things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. My point is this morning, you should feed anything that's feeding you in whatever category. If it's good enough to help you, you should help it. If it's pouring into your life, you should pour into it. If it's contributing to you, you should contribute to it. And please don't lose me right off the bat this morning and say, oh, he's just up there talking about giving her tithes and giving her faith promise and giving money. This is way bigger than money. Money is part of this. Giving financially is part of this. But there's way more to give, and there's way more to this than giving of your money. Common sense tells you to feed what's feeding you. You bless what's blessing you. You help what's helping you. Everything, listen, operates that way. The field, the grass, the trees, everything that's sustainable operates that way. As I said, every relationship in your life, when you violate this principle, it will be cursed and it will dry up on you and die. It can't be one-sided. Not just with us and with people and relationships this way, horizontally, but vertically. Our relationship with the Lord can't be one way. He has given and given and given. And we have taken and taken and taken. And especially in the day and hour that we live in, boy, this thing of Christianity has turned into a one-sided thing, and we come just to see what we can get. I mean, it's like Christmas every Sunday. And it used to be, in the way it should be, the way that it is scriptural and spiritual of Christianity, is not that you just get something all the time. What can the church give me? And what can the church do for me? And what ministry do you have to help me? And all them things are good in their place, but listen, this thing's about balance and reciprocity. You should want to give and serve and work and to contribute and bless and feed what's feeding you. That's right. With the Lord, it's so true. He said, if we sow to that which is spiritual, we'll reap everlasting. If we sow to that that's carnal and fleshly, that's what we'll reap. I thought about this, one of the best examples I can think of, and you that I know some of you right now in need I thought of, and others are taking care of their parents, taking care of their mothers and their fathers who's got up in age. And I thought about my mama. I remember my grandma. She got on up in age and got where she couldn't take care of herself, and my mama would get up early in the morning, and she'd go and make sure grandma was bathed and clothed and fed and all the essential things that had to be taken care of. that wasn't just happening because it had to be done. At some point, my grandma had poured into her life. And when she raised her, she sacrificially raised her and gave to her and clothed her and bathed her and wiped her when she was dirty and cleaned her and whatever it took, she raised her. And then when the shoe was on the other foot, I watched her because it had been poured into her and she had fed her and clothed her and given to her. It was her time to put the shoe on the other foot and prove to her mama that she would be there for her and bathe and clean and feed and take care of whatever she had to do to show her that it was worth the giving, all the giving that she had given. It's that way with you. It's that way with me. I think that's right. Any person, it says something about your character if you won't take care of your parents when they need it. They took care of you. They fed you. They clothed you. They put up with all your nonsense. The least we could do is feed that's fed us all those years, that's poured into us and took care and raised us. That's right. I thought about no matter how crazy my grandma got. Anita said something to me about when her mama was in the hospital, how she got sort of ill and mouthy, which I couldn't imagine her mama doing. But say she'd get short with Anita and just pop off. And I thought about my grandma, and I said to her, "It's funny how when people get older, it's like they start acting more like children again." And she said that to me. I remember my grandma doing that to her. She would just pop off at the mouth at her like, and she was just trying to help her. And remember how it was, as you was and I was as children, we'd pop off at the mouth. I remember, and it wouldn't matter how crazy, she could get up early and go to help her, and she would just have something smart to say. But just as a mother who would hear a child be rebellious and say something, you don't cut that off and cut them off and cut your love off just because they do that. And neither is it that way on the flip side. They fed you. They was faithful to you. So no matter how crazy it gets, no matter how out of the way, how inconvenient it gets, you keep pouring back into them because they poured into you. Church ain't always going to be plush and pretty and the choir doing its best. There's going to be days the choir will be off, and there's going to be days the choir won't even be up there. The preaching, I promise you, will not always be wonderful and glorious. And even when it's those down times, you don't quit on it. If it's ever fed you, then feed it. When it's not, if there's ever time to go to the choir and say, "Hey, you done a good job this morning, wonderful, keep singing," it's when they're down, it's when they're off, because if anybody knows they're off, it's them. But if when they're up and things went good and the altars fled and people got help and people got saved and people rejoiced, hey, listen, that's when they're feeding you and pouring into you. And when they're down, you can feed them. Could you imagine how big of a hole we would have in our church without a choir, without any singing, without any specials? Without any preaching? Well, I thank God for those things that feed me. The teaching that's here, the preaching that's here, and the singing that's here, the giving, all that goes on at the house of God has fed me my entire life. And I just be doggone if I'm going to quit feeding it when it's down and when it dries up. I'm going to do my best to put in all that I can to feed the place that's fed me. And be faithful to the place that's been faithful to me. Amen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that's how shall he also reap. Feed what's feeding you. By the way, you're not too busy or too big to mess this up. What I'm saying, I failed in breaking this law. I as a husband, my wife has given and given and given to me, and I have failed to be reciprocal in that and to give back to her. And with my children, they have given me so much joy and pleasure in life, and there's been times I've been so busy helping everybody else that I failed to give back to them. My point is, no matter if it's with your children, your parents, your church, hey, listen, You need to focus on what's feeding you and put your and not get so tied up with everything out there in the world that can grab your attention and deflect you and detour you away from the very things that's keeping you alive and helping you. And your family is part of that. Your church is part of that. It's vital to you. It's vital to me that we keep it going and contribute to it so that it can keep contributing to us. I seen a sign that read, "You are teaching your children how to treat you by how you are treating your parents." Boy, it's so true. That is so true. Whatever you throw at your parents, just keep in mind one day your children's going to throw at you. You cannot sow disrespect and reap honor. You cannot sow hostility and hate and reap love. It don't work that way. You cannot sow greed and reap prosperity. It don't work that way. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You want friends? Show yourself friendly. You can't be some pious, stuck up, mean, cruel, crash person, never speak to anybody. So I ain't going to walk across the church to shake their hand. They didn't shake mine. Well, don't be expecting nobody to come shake yours. If that's your mentality. If you want friends, show yourself friendly. You know why people don't come sit beside you and shake your hand and hug your neck and be good to you and want to be friends with you? Because you mean. I'm being honest. Nice people have no problem finding friends. Don't. Sorry, that's the truth. Quit being mean. Feed people what's feeding. I'm about done. Your time, your talents, your treasure, it all applies. Some people are eating here and sowing over there. This is true. I remember, that ain't right. If you're getting fed here, then you ought to come and sow back here. It ain't right for you to come here and have God meet your needs and bless you and help you and save your children here and do all that you need and you be fed over and over here and then you go home and watch some TV evangelist and send your money in there. That ain't right. That's terrible. And I know people that's done that, and that's terrible. You should feed what's feeding you. Some people eat here and sow there. How do you think this would go? If my wife, who's washing my drawers, my nasty clothes, clothing my children, cooking my food, washing my clothes, doing my dishes, and doing all that for me, and then I spend all my time and attention and money and attraction on some other woman, reckon how that'll go. It ain't right. I cannot glean and be given from her and then go somewhere else and give my attention away. It don't work that way. It's the same with the church. It's the same with your marriage. You sow where you reap and you reap where you sow. If I give to you, it's just normal and right for you to give back. If you give to me, it's just common sense for me to give back to you. That's how relationships work. So how can we understand all that about our life and our marriage and our children, and we can't put 2 + 2 = 4 about the church? If that works in every other part of life, it absolutely works in the church. If this place feeds you, you should feed it. If this place has ever poured into your life, you should spend your life trying to pour into it. I mean that. And I ain't, listen, it ain't just from one week to the next. This is a longevity thing. I want Morningstar Baptist Church to be here, to be thriving, growing, and be able to feed my children when I'm gone. So therefore, I can't just say, well, last week I didn't get fed, so I'm going to quit feeding it. No, listen, I realize that down through the years, decades and decades, people have poured in and given and been faithful and sown here so that I could reap. So the least I can do is for me to sow here and to give here and to be faithful and to feed here so down the road others can come and partake because all that I've been given and blessed with here. That's right. When you go to a restaurant, they don't ask you to pick up the check at the other table. It don't work that way. But they do expect you to pay for the food that was brought to your table. Because if everybody just comes in and sits down and eats and takes and enjoys, but they don't contribute and they just get up, burp, and walk out, well, that place ain't gonna be there much longer for the givers or the takers, the payers or the scams. And that's true whether it's a restaurant, a church, a marriage, whatever. If you don't contribute, if you don't give to it, it just ain't right for one person or two or three or four or five to do all the giving and everybody else do all the taking. It won't last. It won't last. It's a principle God set up and it works. It absolutely works. I'm simply saying, don't come in, sit, receive, take, soak it in like a sponge and never give back. Contribute. Slowly but surely. You say, well, the church is still here and it's doing fine. Oh, it didn't wither up like the fig tree in a day and die, but slowly and surely, the more people you have taking and not giving is slowly contributing to the death of it. That's absolutely true. It may not happen in a week, but you are diminishing the church, you're diminishing your home, your marriage, when you let one side do all the giving and the other side do all the taking. Amen. You sow, you reap what you sow. And in closing, some people are better takers than givers. That's just the truth. If you are going to take, you ought to give back. If you're going to eat, you ought to feed. You're going to receive a blessing, you're going to be a blessing. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Over and over, the Word of God amplifies and fortifies this principle. If you give, it will be given back to you. If you don't, you ain't promised you that it will be. We can't expect God to keep feeding us when we are not willing to honor these principles that He set up. I started to bring a ball in here to prove this point and give you a visual illustration. But if I had a ball, a football, and I throwed it to you and you threw it back to me and I passed it to you and you passed it back to me, and that went back and forth, and I threw the ball to you, and you just kept it. And then walked off and turned around and said, I can't believe he ain't passing me the ball. Well, you kept it. I can't pass it to you. You didn't return it to receive it again. And a lot of people come in with that mentality. They want you to pass it to them, but they don't want whatever. They want to be a ball hawk and then blame you for not passing it back to them. It don't work that way. When you don't return it, there's nothing there to return. That's right. What areas of your life are you underfunding and overexpecting? Are you expecting more out of a career than you was willing to study for and put in study? Are you trying to get something more out of a guitar or a piano or a golf game that you didn't put into it? I promise you, I don't know much about a guitar or a piano, but a golf game, I know what it's like to practice and to play and to get pretty good at it and then quit and take 6 months off. Well, don't expect to get out of that game what you got out of it when you was playing every day. It don't work that way. When you quit putting in, you quit taking out. Same is true with, hey, don't try to get these instruments and pull out of it something you didn't put into it. It ain't in there to take out because it wasn't put in. The same is true in our Christian life. If you don't put anything into it, you ain't going to get anything out of it. This church, if you don't put into this church, you ain't going to get out of this church. It's just right. And you did realize you can't come once a month or every now and then and get everything you need from God. It don't work that way. You can't just show up when you please and be a part-time Christian and expect full-time benefits. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. So, churches are full of people that overexpect and underfund. Jobs are full of people that way. They overexpect, but they're not willing to give what it takes to get it. Marriage is the same. I really do close with this. I thought about in our generation, I've been guilty of this. Everybody look up here at me. I've been guilty of this. Fussing and griping and complaining about our children and this generation that's come on the scene. How they have no worth ethic. They seemingly have no spirituality, no depth of the things of God. They would rather sit in front of a game or a computer and play with their thumbs than they would go out and work and do. And I've been guilty of saying that stuff and believing that stuff. And I got to thinking this week about that. Has it ever dawned on me or you that have griped about these young people? They are that way. A lot of them are that way. But they're our children. They are what we have put in them. They're still our children. And the reason that they are that way is because somewhere down the road, we wasn't at home for them to be loved and to love them and to talk to them. And we left them to themselves all alone to raise themselves and do the best they could. And so they found their communion and companionship in a game or in a screen or in whatever because we've trusted that to babysit them rather than us. We put more time and attention and energy in making money than making children. Amen. That's right. And one way to fix it, and that's to go back and do our first works as the Bible talks about in the book of Revelations, and repent and go back and tell them, I know I wasn't there for you the way I should have been. I know I made some major mistakes and I hadn't been there for you to come to and consult with and be your companion and tell them I haven't done it all right and go back and raise your children with the best you can with the time you have left with them. Be honest with them and say, I have failed. I hadn't been there. And not just wash your hands of it and say, well, that's just, I've been guilty of this. Hey, everybody, we look up here at me. You know one of the hardest things to do is to remove one of these things from your child once you've given it to them? You don't believe me? Try it. It's easier to say, well, they already that way and they already addicted to it and they already got to have it and there's no way. I've asked my children, you want me to take my belt off and tear your tail up or you want me to take that phone for a day? Whoop me, Daddy. When God said, hey, God give a way of punishing, and when a child, and I'm not talking about a teenager that's rebellious, I'm talking about a young child, says, I would rather you whoop me than take my tablet. You know why? Because they become so good of friends. Their companion, their life, because we've handed it over to them to raise them. We've replaced our fellowship with a phone. We've replaced our mentorship with a tablet. We've replaced our love and our attention with some other device that can raise them and give us, make it where we can go off and do our own thing. And you, listen, we cannot expect them to become what we want them to be and to go out into a wicked world that we're living in this life in the year 2022 and expect them to face this wicked world not having sown in them what we want them to become. They will not become what we want them to unless we've put in them what they need to have to face it. That is not popular, but that is absolutely the truth. That's absolutely the truth. So, and last verse I'll read, John, and I won't even read it. I'll just close my Bible, close this. And everybody can breathe. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. Listen, God believes in what He said in the law of sowing and reaping. And God so loved you and me that He gave His Son, His only begotten Son. Jesus so loved you that He gave His life. And all He wants in return is for us to give our life. Not for Him, not on a cross, not to die, but to live for Him. That ain't too much to ask. That ain't too much to ask. Feed what's feeding you. Give to what's given to you. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the principles and the laws, God, that You've set up, the systems, God, that do reproduce, God, that do stay sustainable. Lord, I pray You'd help us, God, to latch on to this. May this find lodging place in our hearts. God, I pray You'd help us, Lord, to give to our marriage, Lord, to our children. Oh, God, to this church, to the things of God, to spiritual things that we could reap from it, Lord. Oh, God, I pray You'd help us. Make it real in our hearts. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I ask You, would You come? You need this altar. Say, I hadn't.